Got a minute?
Boy, Bruce, are you bored?
All right, thank you. Call this meeting to order. It's the Oceano Community Services District, Wednesday, January 9th, 2013. Happy New Year, everybody. It is 6:30 p.m. If I could get a roll call, Carolyn.
President Guerrero?
I'm present.
Vice President Lucy?
Present.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Hurdle? Director White?
Present.
All right, moving on to item number 3, the flag salute.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number 4, the agenda review. Is there any changes or additions anybody would like to make?
Well, there is one thing. We were scheduled to have the 218 on the garbage fee increase tonight, but we decided to reschedule that and continue the protest hearing until our last meeting of the month, which is January 23rd. Just because it'll give our constituents more chance to review. And Mr. Statler, who is the consultant on the program, and Mr. Martin will both be here that night, and they'll be able to ask questions. So what this does, instead of saying we're pushing it down right after the holidays, it gives our constituents more time to review it. They've all been had their mailings. We've received one protest letter so far since the mailings went out, but it's just a more economical and transparent way to take care of the people of Ocean Hill.
My understanding is the other entities are not doing theirs until February?
No, one is doing that same week, okay. And then the other one is doing in February. So, okay. But it's just going to make things a little easier. Yes, Director White.
Did those go out with the billing?
No, they're a separate mailing.
Okay, because I didn't get one.
You didn't get one.
Did they go to Health Sam?
I'll have to check it. They took our list. Like I said, we've only got one protest letter and no calls.
Good.
Thank you. Is there any other or any agenda changes or reviews anybody might have?
No, I don't
have
any.
Did you put committee assignments on the agenda?
Committee assignments is on the agenda. That is 10A.
And then did we already approve November's minutes? I did get my November packet. I just can't remember, and I read the minutes. But
yes.
I can't remember if we approved them. We did? Okay.
Sure.
All right.
All right. I'm hearing no changes. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I so move.
And the motions are second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item number 5, public comment. Public comment on any item of district business, not on the agenda. Is there any public comment this evening, Tom? Any slips? I see Mr. Edwards coming forward. Good evening, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to take the public comment period to touch on several topics of interest to your board. And the first item has to do with Zone 11A. And just so you know, next week's meeting is canceled. That's the meeting on the 15th. So the next, or the February meeting, it will be on the 19th. One of the recent occurrences relative to drainage and flooding in Oceano has been the filing of a lawsuit by a number of island residents. And they've filed an action in Superior Court against John Wallace. And so you might want to take a look at that and review what's going on there, because I think it's an important consideration, especially given the fact that the county really hasn't taken many steps to address the drainage issues in Oceano. Also, you know, I continue to hear or read in the Friday report particularly that Oceano is a model utility. And I guess I'd like to remind your board that fundamentally you are a water company, which is indeed a utility. But it seems that there's a lot of focus on things other than water. And obviously the water situation is crucial. And I thought that was kind of interesting because through the RFP process, you'll theoretically interview a number of engineers. And here, Mr. Grosshart is being given personal tours of the water yard by your GM. It's reminiscent, actually, of your GM when he came to this district. He was brought down, and the financial records of the district were revealed to Mr. Geeslin before the review or RFP process for a GM. So that's unfortunate that Mr. Geeslin still tends to think he's in the private sector and not the public sector. Also, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Sand District and the increasing legal fees that they're incurring. Just this last meeting, they approved a $46,000 payment to the law firm in connection with the appeal of the administrative civil liability to the State Board, and that's a hemorrhaging that continues. And something has to be done with that, about that, I think, and perhaps now with the new majority. And then I'll just close by saying that many of you may know, but the Coastal Commission is in town. They're meeting in Pismo Beach. They were meeting today, and we'll be here tomorrow and Friday. If you get a chance, head down to the Vets Hall in Pismo Beach.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
It's an interesting...
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Good night. Is there any other public comment? All right, moving on to item...
If I could, I would like to clarify something.
Sure.
The reason why Mr. Grosshart was given a tour of the water yard, because he was the engineer of record, and all the stuff that he engineered had been put in place, and so he was offered a chance to look at that, the fruits of his labor as well as ours.
Thank you, Tom. Item number 6, presentations or commendations. There are none. Item number 7, the consent agenda, review and approval of minutes from December 12th and December 28th. I did have, let me ask if there's anybody else. Anybody have any comments on those? And the cash disbursements.
If you're going to comment on the consent, then let's pull it and put it on as an agenda item. Just put it at the bottom of the agenda or someplace. Consent usually moves through without any comment.
What?
Because that's how consent works.
Oh, I didn't know.
You know, that if there's documents, housekeeping, and you put it under consent, usually when someone comments on it, you usually pull it and just add it on the agenda someplace. Because consent is to move things through as blocks.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item number 8, reports. Sheriff South Station Commander Jim Taylor. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. For the month of December, the Sheriff's Office had a total of 424 calls for service in Oceano. Of that total, 3 burglaries were reported, 8 thefts were reported, which consisted mostly of items that had been left in unlocked vehicles. We had 6 batteries against persons that were reported to us, 4 misdemeanor vandalisms, and a total of 32 disturbing the peace calls, which when I looked at the records, most consisted of family disputes that had been reported right around the holidays, so it's always nice to get together with your loved ones. We had 2 incidents that occurred that I think merit some attention. One was a burglary which occurred at a home on Utah Street in the early part of December. The burglary had occurred while the residents had been tented for fumigation. And there were several items of jewelry that had been taken. We are following up some leads. It's interesting that there had been a similar type of burglary in Arroyo Grande that involved a house which had been tented for fumigation. During the course of the investigation and in talking to some of these companies, what the deputies learned is that when they tent a home to fumigate it, the company that does the tenting is supposed to introduce a tear gas agent into the residence. And the tear gas agent, the intention is it would keep people, animals, anything out. And then they introduced the pesticide, which is odorless, colorless, tasteless. We have seen incidents in years past where we've had college students who were intoxicated and they somehow come to be inside one of these homes that are tinted and they die from the pesticides. And what we have found is in some cases companies, to try and cut costs, don't use the tear gassing agent. We don't know that that occurred in this case, but it can explain how someone can gain entry to a residence for the purpose of trying to steal something if the company cuts a corner. The other thing we learned is that these companies typically advise homeowners to leave all the cupboards open, all of the drawers open. They then send people into the house to go through everything to make sure that that in fact happens. So you essentially have a stranger coming through if this happens to your residence. The second incident that we had was a resident who was a victim of a phone scam that resulted in the loss of $550. This lady received a phone call from a man who identified himself as a representative of the publisher Clearing House Sweepstakes. He said that she had won $550,000, but that she would have to pay a government fee of 1% in order to collect her winnings. He then directed her to take $550 and put it on a card called a green dot card that are, you see them available at CVS pharmacies, Rite Aids. Put it on the green card and then telephone him back with the account number so that the government could collect its fee. She did this, waited a few days, didn't hear from Ed McMahon or anyone at Publishers Clearinghouse, and then she received a follow-up call from this gentleman who said that she had additional fees that she needed to pay, and at that point she figured out that she was the victim of a scam. The deputies investigated it. Unfortunately, the numbers from which the calls were placed are in Jamaica, so the probability of following up on it is almost nil from our perspective. And it's just a general rule of thumb. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And if Publisher Clearinghouse Sweepstakes decides you're a winner, they're going to show up on your doorstep, and you'll know it's them because there'll probably be an IRS agent right behind them. So if you get solicitations on the phone, don't fall victim to them. And if you know anyone who's elderly, because a lot of these crimes fall on elderly victims, it's a good idea to maybe discuss it with them, especially parents or loved ones, not to fall victim to these phone scams. And that's the end of the report.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
When they terminate your house, do they ask you to turn off your alarm system too?
Yes, because they've got to make entry to get in and check the residence.
And don't you leave a window open so that the hoses and stuff can go through the window?
You probably do. I'm not familiar with exactly how they introduce the chemicals, but it would reason that it's being pumped in, so you probably do.
Yeah. But, okay.
I mean, it's the whole purpose of introducing that tear gas agent is supposed to be to keep people from wanting to go in or being able to go in. And at some point, I think the poison must dissipate to a level that if you knew what that level was, you could probably wear the proper apparatus and go in.
And I think the companies use subcontractors oftentimes.
In your packet, there's the Form 700 that we need to have filled out and turned in fairly quickly. Director Lucy has hers done. And we will, if you get them to the office, then we'll get them up to the county for you if you like. We've got copies of your stipend request form so that you can fill them out and we can get you paid in a timely manner. I got an update on the recycling fees to pass on. And I have the bill for the election, which was for the four seats and the ballot initiative, and it came to $4,952. So we got that in the day before yesterday, so that'll go into payables. And we'll have to put that back on the agenda, I think, in February, so we can address the open items on the ballot initiative. And then last, before I get to my report, you have a notification of the South County Community Monitoring Project done by the Air Pollution Control District, and that's going to be at Mesa School. on January 16th at 5:30 p.m. Mesa School is up on the Mesa. And I'm hoping that the community comes out and attends this, because the activity of this could severely hurt our economic environment that we have here in Oceana.
Tom, can you repeat the time and the date for us, please?
It's January 16th, 2013 at 5:30 p.m. at Mesa Middle School. Now, they have 2012 on here, but it's just a typo. But I'm imploring the community to go out and attend that. Okay, so I've given the audience and you copies of my mid-year report, and I'd like to go over it page by page, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
First, we have a financial snapshot as of today, and as you can see, we have available cash inside the model utility of $2,545,227. Well, we just completed our first sweep of when the bills got paid in November, December, and it was only down by $5,000, $5,036. So to me, that's a real positive sign. The other thing is the will serve letters that we've been producing are also producing fees, and I'll get to that later. So now, granted, in the end of January and February, we have a JPA payment that's due, and we have our state water contractor fees due, and we have our other fees, but and that's probably in the tune of about $500,000, give or take a little bit. We did get some credits for maintenance that wasn't done in Zone 3, and some cost improvements. So at the end of this, we will still be right around $2 million. And then the other thing is we're going to start another billing cycle here. We do meter reads next week, and then we'll enter into another billing cycle. With respect to the billing cycle, we are bending over backwards to help people, because even though the economy has bounced in a lot of areas, some of our customers are still having some issues. And for the first time ever, I got a call from a lady that was living on security court. And when the spill came in, she got her insurance company involved. And anyways, you know, when they put the big dryers in, your PG&E bill goes through the roof. Well, she's a little old lady. She made an agreement with PG&E that they could debit her account, and they took all her cash out of her account. And I verified it, and it's true. So I'm going to have a discussion with Mr. Wallace to see if he's going to help this person out. But we're extending time as the time is warranted. Now, I will tell you, and I've said this before, and people are listening, because I am getting calls, not when the late notice comes in, but I'm getting calls previous, hey, I'm having a tough time, what can you do for me? And the amount of late notices that went out typically for door hangers is right around 150 to 180, and this time it was right around 100. So everybody's trying, everybody's working to make it go, and they are our customers, and we view what they say pretty much with a grain of salt. Now, we do get the occasional sob story just recently, because she's asked until January 24th, because that's when one of her pension checks comes in. So that's just to give everybody an example of what we're starting to deal. But never before had anybody, you know, we'd heard grumblings about the spill, but never has somebody said, hey, this affected me in a way that I wasn't planning. So I'll have a discussion with Mr. Wallace on that. One thing, and I'm really, really glad Caroline's here. When I took over, there was a bone pile of over $16,000 of uncollected debt, and that was for the year previous. And we've been managing it, and I've chartered her with going after, because a lot of it was because of the repossessions of houses and stuff like that. And she's gone after banks. She's gone after that. And our bone pile today is less than $550. So she deserves a round of applause because that's been, she said, I want to handle this.
Yay.
And she took it and ran with it. So, and that has a direct effect on our bottom line. So, I mean, what we lost in property taxes, we've more than made up for it. So
thank you.
I want to bring that to everybody's attention. We completed the audit prep for 2010-2011. We're now entering into testing mode. And so we should be having a report here within 60 to 90 days. And then we will have 2011-2012 right behind it. So the goal is to get both of them closed by year end. And I need to explain to you again that because of the AS400 and the Tyler system having the wrong balances put in and the wrong funds put in and all this other stuff, it created a nightmare. So we basically had to recreate a year and a half of redoing every single entry and then and getting the trial balance right and then going in and plugging and playing. And I think we had to make, for that year alone, I think we had to make in the neighborhood of, I want to say, 160 journal entries. And a journal entry is where you correct where something was accounted for incorrectly. So, but that's all done and they've been entered and we're off to the races with the audit. We just went a tail end of the reconciliation of 11 and 12, which we had to do the same thing. So that'll be all prepped and ready to go. During this reestablishing the, basically re-entering the whole year, year and a half, 2 years now, the internal controls so that we treat everything by fund. And if you remember when I distributed the fourth quarter statement, it was broken down by fund. And now we're putting that into our reporting deal. And then we will build the budget to reflect that based on those funds. It still won't be the Encyclopedia Britannica, but it'll be more of a fund-based budget than a single line item budget that we presented to get us through it. One of the key things that we've done over the last 6 months, in which all of you have been a part of, so you know what I'm talking about, is we're building a community connection. Whether we were looking at the solar panels at Tierra Nueva or our activities with revitalization or involvement with certain service groups, and just the overall community outreach, we're really, really charged by that. And we are one of the members of the Oceano Farmers Market Committees here tonight, and that has got tremendous momentum and traction, and we're targeting to open in April. We had a meeting with Lucia Marr today to secure either the school district or the rec center property on Sundays to get that done, and that's fallen into place. We've got, I dare to say, 20 people. That Director Hurdle sits on the committee, but she kind of just sits and watches because the community is taking charge of it. And that will fall under our Parks and Rec, which you guys have already agreed to do, and it makes it, it's a really, really cool event. And so if you have the opportunity to drop in on one of these meetings, I'd highly recommend it. They have their own committee established, and they're moving forward, and it's really fun to be a part of. And on the 5th of May, that is Cinco de Mayo, and when we have the farmers market, we will also couple in Cinco de Mayo festivities with it. So we have a line on Ballet Folklorico and a few other things. Mm-hmm. And to make it a real special day besides the farmers market activity. We've improved our customer service and response and action times, not only in the office, but in the field as well. And we've assisted investors in Oceano because they've come in, and with the recharge of the economy, people are starting to want to invest back in Oceano, and so they're building it. As a matter of fact, today I met with an appraiser for one of the banks, the Oceano Flooding Planning and Patrol. As you know, the flooding isn't in our purview, but we can agitate and we make things go. And I'd like to highlight that if you notice when it does rain now, we don't get the a residual flooding on 13th like we used to. We don't get the residual flooding on the 19th like we used to. And when we do get the spots, if we do have any incidences, and granted the rain has been light as compared to other years, but our team is usually the first on the ground, and we have a chain of command and a flooding response program in conjunction with the county, the sheriff's department, and the related fire departments. And that was, I'd like to say that that was a pretty organized effort, and I think should something bad have happened, you never know how it's, like Sheriff Taylor reminds me, you never know exactly how it's going to turn out, but at least we had something to go on so that we could respond, and you guys supported that effort all the way. We worked diligently to work with our sister agencies and share response and identify problems. We have gone out of our way to initiate that, and so like I've said at other meetings, it doesn't matter what the noise is up here. We have good, strong communication with AG, Grover, Pismo Beach, and we work pretty diligently to maintain that. Oh, and the gentlemen that work for the Sand District. We researched and addressed all water and sewer compliance issues. We had an employee here that told us everything was fine, and when that employee was no longer here, some massive things came to the forefront, and you have been aware of a lot of the work, and I'll go into that work in detail when we get to the next page. We're in constant communication with public health. We're in constant communication with State Water Board to make sure we're in compliance, and we continue to upgrade everything that we have, and we're going to continue to do that. And if you remember, I said that when we clicked over this year that we needed to focus on our water and sewer distribution, and that's where I'd say about 75% of the efforts have gone into play. We've controlled a majority of the cost and expense. Employees at convenience marts, you don't see them at gas stations. Everybody's working, and we will probably come to you in the next month or so with a increase to do the USO side and maybe add one more person in the office side. But right now, everybody's working lean and mean, and nobody's complaining. And you guys drop into the office more than enough times, and if anybody was having problems, they know they can talk to you at any time. And when we have had problems in the past, we've been the people have gone to you, we've been very responsive in correcting those problems. And I'm extremely proud of the effort and the ownership that people that work for this district take. And from Caroline taking the bone pile to Celia working through the water audit with her and Casey, to the stuff that Aaron and Tony are doing with respect to getting us up in compliance. It's an extremely satisfying thing for my part, so, and hopefully for you too. We maintained employer headcount, which I just talked about. We've improved OCSD's visibility with other government agencies, and now OCSD is a respected participant. In previous years, and Director White can attest to this, Director Angelo and Director Lucy can attest to this, and Director Guerrero can attest to this, all of a sudden now, because we push back when things have been wrong or been discounted, that all of a sudden we are now, people are calling us. What's your feeling on this? What do you want to do on this? Where before, it was just people, they didn't care. And if they are going to try and take advantage, they know that there's going to be some static. And you as board members know that when we push back on the county on some issues, you've heard the static. When we push back on other agencies, like our friends over here, you've heard the static. But so what? We're going to go forward because we're going to do what's right for the people in Oceano. And we need a strong, high visibility. And I'm doing everything I can to improve it, and I'm also doing everything I can to get you all involved in the things that are out there so that our visibility gets held higher and our respect level continues to grow. We still carried it through, and we've taken through everything we can because the people of Oceano need everything. We serve them, and I serve them, and the staff serves them, and it's been a combined effort, and it went through without a hitch, and I'm proud of that effort. If you go to page 2, utility service operator Aaron Hughes wrote a breakdown of the completed tasks that we've knocked off internally. And it's for 4 people, it's a tremendous workload. And there's days where I haven't been in the office, where I'm at the yard, where I'm spotting while we're running a crane or a backhoe, or we're waiting for parts to come in and shuttling parts around, making calls when we need equipment. It's been a complete team effort. And the other thing, and I'd like to point to the bottom of the page, when I got here, I petitioned you guys that said we need to invest money in education. Mm-hmm. And so we've been sending our utility operators to additional classes, one, to ensure compliance, but two, so that they can professionally grow. And all 3 of them took a test at the end of the quarter, and all 3 of them passed it. And so they've all increased to new levels. And they're scheduled for another set of education rounds this quarter and another set of testing in the next quarter. And then I need to remind you also that we have Kelly Dodds on, who has multiple certifications as well. So if you go to page 3, this is an operational summary of what we've invested in the water and sewer distribution. And we've spent a grand total of $157,000 to do all the stuff that was listed on that front page. And this includes everything from ensuring the integrity of the tanks, creating the release to atmosphere situation, which one of the big pluses of that, for those of you in the audience or at home don't know, we've installed a new $10,000 tank. And what that does is that allows us to clear the wells when we're doing sampling and testing. And it also allows us now to maintain, and by keeping it in-house and working the way we did it for a little under 160, and it's broken out. And then on page, the 2 following pages break it out even more. And then finally, the last page, besides doing all that, the last page is what we did to maintain our customer service and ability to take care of our normal operations. So we did 211 work orders. That could be anything from repairing a lateral to somebody stole a meter to turning somebody's upgrading a meter with the fire sprinkler thing, which we all talked about last year. We had to come up with a plan that was economically benefit for everybody, and our people are doing that. USAs, that's where we have to go mark out all of the different things. So like if the county is going to work on a road, or if Caltrans is going to work on something, or if a developer is getting ready to do something, we go take care of that. We had 78 customer service calls where, hey, I'm using way too much water. So we go in and do the toilet testing. We go in and look at all the things that they could be losing water. Oh, somebody might be stealing water. We try and chase that down. Sampling, in order to be in compliance, we have a very strict and rigid sampling schedule, which we take care of. Door hangers and late fees and lock-offs and reconnects, as you can see, it's not that bad. And then we have to spend a considerable amount of time on state reports. And then every time we have a system failure, we're also required to report. And you or anybody else can call one of our reporting agencies, and they'll tell you that we are 100% in compliance. And then we've had 31 after-hour service calls for the last 6 months as well. So, with that, I am open to questions, and I didn't prepare a slideshow, but I will hold these up for the audience. On our water distribution system, we've installed a lot of new valves, but we have a lot of old valves, and we are doing maintenance, and I was kidding Director Lucy and Director Angelo, but in 2009, 2010, they said that they were going to put a valve maintenance program in. But as I hold these up, I'm not sure that any valve maintenance was done, but we are now on top of it. And so that's another positive, idiot-proof. I'll be able to do it. And that's how I told them to write it. They will be kept in all three trucks. And at this is, for those of you that can't see it, this is our lift station at Pier. And we did a major refurbishment on that. It was supposed to be over $200,000, and we're 90% finished with it. And we know it works because we had a problem today, and everything worked just fine. Anyways, this will also be inside the lift station. We have the manufacturer's version, but now we have it, so it's up to State Water Board and California Public Health standards. And this is going to be a major operation because everything that we do, from changing a meter to working on a lateral to handling a spill, all that stuff has to be documented and easily referenced by anybody who's there. So say we had a call, and Director Guerrero likes to roll up sometimes and say, see what's going on. He could pull that out, and he could double-check while the people are working at the same time. Now, the other thing about this is that the sanitation district has to do the exact same thing. So does AG, Grover, and Pismo. We're all working in conjunction with them on it. They've hired a tech writer to formalize it so it'll be standards. And Aaron Hughes, God bless him, said, I can put the standards together better than anybody else. And so that's why this is in draft, but you'll have a complete operation thing done by when we make the turn for the end of the year. And Aaron has a great relationship with Public Health and State Water Board, and so he's running by everything with them as we proceed. So this is part of the education that we spelled out. This is part of people taking ownership of their jobs and trying to make this the model utility that our goal is to make it. And with that, I will open up to questions.
Well, you're forgetting a couple of things, Tom.
What?
Well, you're forgetting a couple of things. And I've been out almost every week. I've been by the yard. One is the infrastructure improvements of the yard. It's been almost, I don't want to say almost a total rebuild, but it's been a very formidable task that you guys have taken and gotten over the hurdle. And the forward-thinking change that's gone on, and as part of that's the ownership, but it's the forward thinking. The employees, almost all of them have called me on the weekends where I've had to tell them, a couple of them, hey, you're on your day off.
Actionary mode anymore. We're in forward thinking mode, and they're grabbing the bull by the horns, and they're planning. And it's not just the field people, the office staff is doing it as well. And, you know, we're a evolving unit. And there's going to be some changes made, and as they come along, we're going to make them. But the effort and the ownership that people have taken is extremely pleasing, and I'm proud of the efforts that they put in, and you should be very proud as well.
Those are all my questions. Do any of you have questions for the manager?
Yeah, just a comment. I can't speak to the staff because I don't ever talk to them much, but historically, one of the problems has been that the money that is collected through our ratepayers and stuff has not been put into the water yard. Mm-hmm. And so the infrastructure has just deteriorated because it was minimal to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't thank you enough for really paying attention to the water yard and getting starting those upgrades. And
well,
I think
water and sewer both.
Well, okay, water and sewer. The point being is that for years and years, the resources didn't go back into those. And so now they're going back in, and I just wanted to know that some of us are watching that, and thank you.
Director White?
Yeah, I appreciate this document. It's incredibly detailed. And as a new person on the board, you know, I knew you were doing this and that, but I had no idea what things cost, what the financial picture is. And this really provides me with answer to all the questions I might have. I really appreciate it, and thank you. And thank Aaron, too.
Director Angela?
Yeah. I am very impressed with everything that's been done at the water yard. I know a couple times you've taken me over and gone through things, which I try to stay out of people's territory when they're working. What I saw over there was really almost unbearable. It was so much better than it had been. I see the guys out there, they're working. Everywhere I see them, they're working. They're not, you know, in a coffee shop and that type of thing. Before, when we had work that we thought was going on, I don't know that anything was ever really done. And now you can go by there and you can see.
Our approach was significantly different, and it clearly shows. And I can't, you know, there's, if you count Kelly, there's seven people, and they all have a, and you got to remember too, and this clearly needs to be pointed out also, Celia's husband went through a very tragic accident.
Right.
And for those of you that don't know, he was hit in a head-on collision. It was a couple guys that had no license, no insurance, and he had been, it was bad. Yeah. And he was in the middle of rehab, and he went to a function recently, and because he's starting to get more mobile, and he slipped and fell, and he cracked some more bones. And so we've had to deal with that this week. So we've been a little bit short-staffed. But employees, I'll donate my vacation time to her. You know, everybody's picking up for everybody else. And I'm not sure we would have had that when I first started.
So
across the board, everybody's been there. And like I said, when you guys come in, they're here. In this room alone, this was done by your employees. They wanted to do it.
I know. I was thinking about taking them to my house.
My only suggestion, Tom, is for those at home and those in the audience who haven't seen, didn't know what the yard looked like, perhaps you could put a couple of pictures on befores and afters.
Well, what we're going to do is when we're done, we may just hold like an open house, and so that everybody can see what we've done. We found some old before pictures. And even one of the past water yard superintendents came by, and he told me today he's just amazed at what got done in a short period of time. So that's a good thing.
Thank you, Tom.
Very good.
I think it's probably a good moment for a break. It's 7:22. Why don't we break till 7:30? Come back for committee reports. Call this meeting back to order. It is 7:31 p.m. Oceana Community Services District. Moving on to items number 8D, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Moving on to A, will be Director Angela. Do you have any reports this evening?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. Tentative at this time. It'll be posted, hopefully.
On Thursday.
That's going to be on the Thursday, yes.
At 6, correct?
Correct. The sanitation district had some general orders of business. I think what's most interesting to most people and is actually getting kind of old because it's getting so common is there was another lawsuit that was filed naming John Wallace and the Wallace Group for negligence. I think it actually ties in with the comments that Manager Gieselin made this evening about the lady who had the insurance claim and her electric bill went through the roof and now she doesn't have money to pay her water bill. It's frustrating. It angers you. It gets you really upset. And so that case has been tendered to the insurance company. We'll see whether or not they pick up the defense and what happens from that. I think if you look at our agendas over or our time that's been spent over the last year that I've been on that particular assignment, probably most of it, most of our time has been spent discussing notices of violations, administrative civil liabilities, multiple employee lawsuits, and now lawsuits from the community. And frankly, I'm tired of it. So there was a flash mixer that was approved and a payment on a so another piece of equipment. Excuse me, I'm trying to pull up the
legal.
The primary clarifier, they had a payment. It was, I want to say, $174,000, which was the back end of a contract, polyfeed blend. And then it was all legal. And I think of the hour and a half or 2 hours that we were there, probably 15 or 20 minutes of it was spent in open session. So, that would be the report, and that's basically the report. There was no, there's no reportable action from closed session. Except that I think it is a matter of public record. South Slo CSD has sued U.S. Energy in the San Luis Obispo Superior Court. U.S. Energy were the ones who provided the cogen system, which is the captures the methane gas, runs a generator, and creates electricity. That machine has been down for a number of months. $90,000 was approved a couple of months ago just to get it back and running, just to get it into the condition that. Let me bring up one other point. The mayor of Grover Beach, Mayor Peterson, who was here at this particular meeting last week, brought in a spreadsheet that at the time when she brought it in, I didn't really get it, although I came to understand the significance of it later. And what it was she was trying to trace the funds back that were spent on this particular project that we were doing the final payment on. And what was confusing was exactly the point. The funds were very difficult to trace back through the budgets. They were hidden. It was unclear. And so she was going back with John Wallace and was going to try to figure out where the monies had come from, where they were going, and make sure that everything was according to the generally accepted accounting principles. And I realized that was the point of her spreadsheet, was how confusing and poorly done the finances were for this particular project. So with that, that's the end of my comment. Moving on to item number, Director Lucy.
Can I just ask you, out of curiosity, does that board have any idea of what percentage of their budget is spent on legal?
That's a great question. I voted against the budget. You will recall at the last summer. The reason was it didn't fairly represent the legal expenses. We found out that Wallace Group and John Wallace were billing all of the legal expenses to operations. And so we had requested, and I think Mayor Peterson then came in and requested that those be separated out, because that is not a true and accurate cost. It's not operations. The people of South County are not getting new catwalks and any actual engineering. So we're trying to get that separated out. I'm going to follow up next meeting with that and find out what the status is of that. And then there were some current concerns at the mid-year budget review, because those were not fairly and accurately represented. There was a comment earlier, again, about a staggering legal bill that came in, and it was over $45,000 that we didn't know was coming. I didn't know was coming. I shouldn't say we, but I didn't know was coming. And so it's caused us some concerns. And I think that we on the board now in the community education plant, I believe, did have insurance. I think it was Wallace that personally who did not. And so there will also be a question of whether or not the district has a duty to defend Mr. Wallace. And so I brought that up as well. So. Any other questions, Lori?
No.
Item number 9, public comment. Public comment limited to the specific agenda items. Good evening, ma'am.
Sorry, I'm newbie here, so I'm a little intimidated. My name's April McLaughlin. I live in Arroyo Grande, but I am one of the committee members for the farmers market that is under the OCSD. So I just wanted to clarify that it was three people are here, so I'm sure the other two aren't taking offense at being omitted by accident because you had said one. The thing that mainly I wanted to talk about, it has to do with the financial budget of the market, and I'll just read what I wrote and go from there. In full disclosure, I do taxes for a living. I'm in the finance industry. And so since the market is financed under the auspices of the Parks Department, I'm just respectfully requesting that from here on out, when there are financials or financial information that is available to the public, that the Parks Department has its own line item so that there's some transparency there. Because right now, when I look at the budget that was last year's and this year's, there's no Parks Department. So that was, I just want to make that clear. I would like that to be showing up on the financials since, you know, I do this for a living and I don't want any worry about that part. And I think that would be in the spirit of transparency and full disclosure, which even Mr. Gieslin has been reported as saying that's something he believes in. So that's my respectful request, is that that become more transparent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and this particular item is committees and committee appointments. There wasn't a staff report attached to your agenda, so I wasn't entirely clear on what we were doing tonight. I do know now that you are appointing yourselves to the various committees. But I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the committee and the committee makeup. And it's really exciting to hear about the finance or farmers market committee. The enthusiasm and is neat to see. Sounds like a lot of people are very valuable. But I actually was looking at your standing committees and your finance and your personnel and your utilities. None of the three of those have met since at least May of last year. They are not made up the same way that the Farmers Market Committee is. It's a member, it's members of your board, and members of the public are welcome to attend. So I'd like to see those committees change to include community members that bring their expertise to those items. I know since Mr. Searcy left the board, you haven't had a utility committee. And that, you know, having someone with a utility background or whatever is very helpful, and that's where your citizens can help participate. But when you have a standing committee, you have historically posted their agenda on your website. The Farmers Market Committee has not been showing up on the website, and I stumbled across a Facebook page set up by your committee members. Which is exciting. It's a great way to outreach for the farmers market. But that's how I found the committee agenda. And so I think that we've maybe got some consistency issues with how that's posted. And then the makeup of the committee, it appears that you've got people that are from outside Oceano on the committee. And I just wanted to look at who's who and what the boundaries of the district are and the requirements. But when you have your finance committee
meeting, thank you, ma'am.
I look forward to seeing the fund balances and more thorough review of the finance.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment tonight? I see Mr. Edwards coming forward.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. The first item I wanted to refer to was 7B, it's your cash disbursements. And I may be mistaken, but Philadelphia Insurance Company is your insurance carrier, your primary carrier, and there's a charge or a payment to them for $8,173.50. And I just wanted to know, that seems to be about $5,000 a month more than you've been paying. Their fee consistently has been $3,000 a month. And so, the appearance is that there's a $5,000 per month increase. And I'm just wondering if that's related to the Langstaff. I think, frankly, they're helping manage your groundwater away from you. So that's an unfortunate situation. The other item I'd like to discuss is the GM's mid-year report, 8C. And I don't know about you folks, but it sounds like Mr. Gieselin's getting ready to ask for another raise based on, you know, how he's patting himself on the back repeatedly. You know, it's just kind of amazing. He's talked about, you know, what he's done. What about, you didn't hear about some of the other things? Excuse me, Mr. President.
Well, the question is that she's, we're not going to tolerate personal attacks, so try to.
Well, maybe you can stop my time, but the general manager has given you a mid-year report, and the observation is pretty plain to me. He's getting ready to ask for a raise. I mean, that's what it is. Pardon me?
We requested it.
You requested the raise?
No, the report.
Well, he'll be requesting the raise, I can assure you of that. In any event, you know, some of the things I didn't hear about from your GM was his involvement in the homeless center that was planned or is planned for Oceano. Didn't hear anything about the off-highway vehicle fees that he was trying to garner, but spent a lot of time with no results. Haven't heard anything about the Sand District billing and how that discussion with his buddy John Wallace has failed. Don't hear anything about the Langstaff litigation. And the things that your GM is not doing, he's talked to you about all the different improvements that were made, and those are all maintenance functions.
Thank you, sir.
And excuse me, Mr. President, but I think my interruption is worth about 30 seconds.
No,
thank you.
No, thank you.
So I would refer
I would refer your. I would call this meeting to an end.
Such a headache.
Give it 2 minutes.
Mary.
We'll call this meeting back to order. It is 7:49 p.m. We're on to, is there any other public comment? Seeing none, we're on to item number 10. Suggestions for me at this time. Suggestions, objections, as the case may be.
Chairman Guerrero.
Yes.
As I've told or said before, I would prefer to remain neutral on this.
Okay.
Because doesn't matter who's there, we're all going to work together and make it happen anyways. And I have no preference what anybody does because we all work together as a team.
Mr. President?
Yes.
On the committee sheet, I guess I'm slightly confused.
Okay.
Is that we have Farmers Market listed as a separate committee of the district, and my understanding is that it is a standing committee of community enhancement.
That's a good point, and that was my.
And so, I just put it up under standing committee under Parks and Recs is how the resolution was to be read.
I think that's correct. That farmers market should be under community enhancement.
It's fine either way. I mean, it is a standing committee, though. I mean, that's how we. That,
it's a
that
standing
was
committee
passed.
Of community enhancement.
Of Rec and Parks.
Parks and Rec, right.
Same thing.
Which is under community enhancement. So, and I know Felm has been involved in that. That's why I wanted her to be. That's why I had her on both chair for each of those. Because
right.
It really is the same. And then I had Director White and VP Lucy. Also, do you guys have a care if we delete this as a line here? Director White or Director Lucy, what is your preference as to be in the
put it underneath as a standing committee of community enhancement?
Right, and that's what I intend to do. But what I'm saying is for the director, we have the chair as Felma Hurdle, and for the director, which I had you.
Here, we can share it. Do you want to do it? Either way. I'll alternate for Karen.
Okay, then we're gonna have Karen White there. We'll just delete that farmer's market line. That's fine.
At some point, it's going to take all five of us.
Yeah.
For community enhancement.
And then there were a few changes, like Director White, I put you on the suggestions.
Do we need board action on this?
Yeah, I would think so. I think we would have moved to approve it.
Let's go through it. Ours is kind of blank.
I gave you one of these.
It's right here, somewhere. I'll fill in the blanks.
Well, the blanks are filled in.
There. It was here a minute ago.
Not there, but...
It's okay, I'll fill in the blanks.
Tom, is there another one of... Why don't you look at mine?
Okay, great. Okay, go ahead. Here.
So if you're going to go with Chairman Guerrero's suggestions, we need a motion to accept the suggestions and then a second.
Right, and that's what I'm waiting for, but I'm not sure that... Yeah, Miss Lucy has all of her... I gave her a copy. I got buried in her paperwork.
It didn't get buried. Or my paperwork. It's fine. I don't care.
Are you okay?
Yeah, after so many years, I don't care what committee... The only thing is I really didn't want to do personnel again this year.
Sure. So for personnel, I have myself and Director Hurdle. That's okay. All right. Well, if there's no objections, I'll entertain a motion.
Second?
Do I need to read it off, or we'll just attach this to
he's entertaining the motion.
You can attach that as exhibit to the minutes.
Right. And we'll have it cleaned up. I just used initials. We'll clean it up, and then we'll make it official. Okay, sounds great. I'm sorry, was there a motion?
I would like to move that we approved the committee assignments for the year 2013.
Right.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Carol Ann, can I get a roll call vote?
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. You know, we should have signed Thelma up for a bunch of stuff.
We should have just put her on all of them, huh?
Moving on to item number 12, closed session. There are two. Item 12A is conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A from Stephen Langstaff, re wrongful termination. 12B, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation. The reason is it's somebody who lives within 500 feet of my house.
Okay.
Great.
Why they're not applying for the job?
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Who?
Never mind.
Jeff and Julie for...
Which job?
Call this meeting back to order. We return from closed session. As we previously advised, I recuse myself from item 12B. As to item 12A, there's no reportable action. I'll refer to Vice President Lucy. Was there any report on item 12B?
Yes. On 12B, we've directed staff to take on this issue and report back to the board.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 13, then, board member comments. Why don't we start at the end? I'd like to start with Director White. She always has something fun to say. Director White, do you have any comments?
No.
Okay. Director Angelo?
No.
Director Lucy?
No.
Let's make it
I'm going to be a grandmother next month. I mean, I'm not like, you know, my daughter's going to have a baby.
Congratulations. Well, I had a great Christmas, and I'm glad to be back. I got a lot of exciting stuff going on this year, and I'm looking forward to working with everybody. And Tom and Chase, Mary and Karen and Lori and the empty chair here, Thelma, I think we've got a big year ahead of us. So
busy one.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be a, hopefully a good year for Oceano. Moving on to item number 14, received written communications, a Muriel Clift letter to have support to be the LAFCO representative that was attached. Everybody have a chance to look at that?
Yeah.
So we have to cast a ballot for either Mr. Clift or the other gentleman, and you need to vote, or we can pass, but we've voted before in the past, so.
And the other gentleman was?
I can't remember his last name.
I'm drawing a blank, too. It was in a previous packet.
It's in the minutes, right? Caroline, you remember the gentleman's name? For the
LAFCO nomination?
The LAFCO nomination.
Muriel Clift. Get him out of there and letting somebody else, you know, participate was minimal.
I didn't see it in the December 12th meetings, and I do remember who you're talking about.
Well, we actually had the ballot as part of the packet, and I didn't bring it. Well, it's just received.
It's just received communications. We don't have to do anything tonight.
I can put it on the 23rd.
Okay. Why don't we do that with the other gentleman, and if there's any other candidates coming between now and then, we can cast our vote.
And Tom, I don't know if you can do this or not, but maybe if there's a way you can contact LAFCO to say, you know, we haven't met these refs. We don't know who they are. And supposedly they're supposed to be representing us, and we're not really sure in which way they are. And maybe they could come to a meeting or something if they're representing us. You know, I mean, it's really hard to throw a vote.
I can give David Church a call and ask him.
That'd be great, because it's hard to vote. And if they really want our vote, I'd show up for a meeting.
Late received written communications, I see none. Future agenda items, I think it's like we just added one, the LAFCO nomination.
I'm also going to add a financial report with a budget adjustment to address the Parks and Recs issue, which I'd already communicated last night and before, but apparently, so we'll have that available as well.
Sir, is it my understanding is that that is a standing committee within the organizational structure, but that because money's so limited, there's very little money allocated towards Parks and Recs. I think it's, you know, a token $1,000 a year or something. And so my understanding of this thing, too, and it might not be clear, is that we're acting as the fiscal agent, not the funder.
Right, and that was made clear. But they do need some seed money, and there's a performer that has to be generated, which will come before you to look at. I don't know what that number is yet because we haven't calculated it yet. And the main issue is what's the rider on the insurance going to cost? That's the big one. They're still going to collect fees from the vendors. Cinco de Mayo, we're going to go out and get some donations for that.
An update. I just checked the December 12th minutes, and so it'd be nice to hear from them again and have them check back in with us.
Okay.
Since we're writing a large portion of the check. So.
And since you're going to talk to them, is there a written report on the labor negotiations? I know you've given us verbal reports, right? But is there a written report on actual the negotiations on what the outcome was?
We signed a MOU, and you're given a copy of it.
Okay. Can I get another copy?
Yeah.
Great.
Well, we distributed that months ago when we did the deal.
I understand.
We were going to do a press release, but we decided not to do it. But all that stuff has been distributed.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It has been distributed, but I do not have a row of filing cabinets in my house. You know, I can't live amongst the paper. And I know no director here can relate. I know you have a secretary, Matt.
No, I don't.
I have file boxes.
I just go to the website, Tom, and look if I...
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Didn't you say earlier that in February you would put the issue of the water sales election ballot question?
In February, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Because we do need to address that, and there's some legal things we may have to take because of the way it was written.
We also wanted to talk about the jetter at some point. Just okay. Get an update.
Well,
that's it.
We sold the old one for scrap, and then we... Yeah, it needs to be on the agenda.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. It's a future agenda item. Yeah. Perhaps we could do that on the 23rd. Tom and I have had some discussions.
Yeah, I'll put it on the 23rd.
That'd be great. And then RFP, but I think that'll be ready. We'll put that on for the 23rd. I spoke to Chase earlier, and I'm going to recommend maybe Chase and Mary and I could meet up on Monday. Does that work for you? We could go over the RFP.
Here, let me look at my little calendar. My week at a glance.
That's a month at a glance.
This is a year at a glance.
But perhaps we could meet up on...
No, I'm sorry. This coming Friday?
Monday.
This coming Monday, the 14th?
Yeah, is that
sure.
All right, so why don't I'll call Mary, and we'll set up a appointment with you, Chase, or we'll bang something out and have it ready for the agenda.
Sounds